Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. Tonight with our ministry hosted by a very profound brother, a very knowledgeable brother, brother that's definitely in touch with the Creator, and also my big brother, Brother Messenger. How are we doing this evening?
I'm blessed, my brother. And yourself?
I'm good. Okay, microphone sounds good. Who else we have online with us? Sister Pearls with us tonight?
Yes, sir.
Hey, so again, we got a show tonight where, again, the intent of this podcast, again, it is to enlighten everyone onto the on the abilities that we all have and that we have God in each and every one of us. So as far as having to go to anybody or anywhere else for salvation, I don't want to simplify it too much, but it is just a waste of time. It would be the same as having a refrigerator full of milk, but yet you still want to go to the store to buy more milk.
Amen.
So again, Brother Messenger, and again, he is my brother and a brother, gives us a profound word, profound guidance on what it is that we need to do to connect closer to the Creator himself. And again, we may talk about a lot of things. We may compare the Bible to what we consider to be a better alternative. But one thing is for certain, and that is God is in each and every one of us, and you need to look no further than within yourself for his presence and his blessings.
Amen.
So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn this mic over to the podcast host, other host, and that's Brother or Messenger Ron Dyer. How are we doing tonight, brother?
Bless my brother. I just want to real quick just touch on something that you said when you said we're looking for salvation. This is one of the things that we've got to understand as well.
Mm-hmm. You about to bust me off. I want you to know.
There's a brother.
Yes, sir.
Some stuff going in the background.
Huh?
What's going on?
Well, yeah.
But we all good. Huh?
Okay, yeah. I don't know what it is.
All right. It's just all about being
You're not coming in clear at all, brother. Brother Messenger, nobody's understanding. You can't, you're not coming in at all.
I can't understand him.
Okay, how are we doing now?
No, it's still just broken.
Is that better?
No.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened, but I'm going to drop off for a second. I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah, okay. All right, brother. So while Brother Messenger gets his audio together, just to let, again, just to recap what we're talking about and what we always talk about. We talk about understanding who you are so you will know whose you are. And when you fully understand that everything, and I do mean everything, that the Creator gave to Jesus, gave to Muhammad, gave to any other prophet, you also have the exact same qualities in you. All we are required to do is to tap into that. And once we tap into the Creator, and again, that's a direct connect. I don't have to go through the Pope. I don't have to go through a minister.
Right.
I don't have to go anywhere to get what I already have. And faith comes in to the fact of understanding that you are a child of God. You are the exact same as all these folks that you read about in the Bible, all these folks that you read about in the Quran and the Tartars. You are the exact same. And I know sometimes that can be overwhelming to understand that the people that you, you know, for the organized religious folks, the people that you talk about, Jesus, Muhammad, all the other prophets, that is you. You could tell that. You could tell your story, and that's one of the major changes through the Messenger's ministry, as opposed to what we are accustomed to. I don't have to tell stories of Jesus. I don't have to tell stories of anybody else other than I can. That's all I have to do is just tell my story.
Yep. I had that experience today. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Tell me about your story, Sister Purr.
Well, you know, we have you and I actually have a mutual friend. I don't know if you know, but he received a Parkinson's diagnosis today. And somebody he used to work with. And, you know, he said, as long as it doesn't spread beyond here or there or whatever, I'll be all right. And, you know, I have Parkinson's, I have that experience, and my message to him was, first, God isn't going to give you any more than you can handle.
Amen.
Secondly, it could spread to your whole body. I mean, you got this. It's already destined. It's already yours. You got this. No matter where it goes or what it does, it can spread. It cannot spread. It'll be handled. You know. He's a child of God. He's a warrior.
That is so true. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Much better, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And what you were saying is very profound, and that's something that we have to pay more attention to. And one of the things in which we do is we start to claim that sickness or whatever it is, we start to claim it, and we have to understand the power that we have when we speak things. So if you walk around Red Study saying that you got this and you got that, you're speaking that into existence. And what we have to do is might not have time
Brother Messenger, yes. I'm having difficulty understanding you.
Still, wow.
Yeah, it's coming and going.
What are we doing now?
That was clear.
Okay, I guess I'm going to sit down.
You know, my position is I may have Parkinson's, but it certainly does not own me. You know?
That is correct, my sister. And what you're saying is so true, because we have to understand we might have it, but
Your audio is given. Brother Messenger, for whatever reason, you can't come in and maintain a good signal tonight. Everything that you're saying is really broken up. I can't even really hear you.
I'm going to play him. All right, my brother.
Huh?
Yeah, he's going to go plug in or something.
All right.
He said he'll come back or try to come back.
Okay. All right. So, again, if we believe, and again, it definitely requires us to believe that that we are of God. And once we really understand that, I'm telling you, the power, the awesomeness of us as an individual, you
right.
won't be able to stand it. And again, in my own testimony, not so much a testimony, is I'm going through what I go through at work, and tonight, tonight, the local president happened to be doing a visit in the office. And I'm riding down the aisle on this piece of equipment that I drive when I'm at work, and I see him.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, the range of emotions that I went through going down there as I approached him closer went from some things that I don't want to speak on the air to maybe I should just get off my jack tractor and extend my hand and shake his hand. But as I got closer to him, I could just see his face, and there was no anything that I recognized as friendly. So I just drove past him because I hope that my faith is strong enough that if I would have stopped my jack tractor and put my hand out to shake his hand, and then he walked away from me, I just hope my faith would have been strong enough that I could just keep walking also. But again, it wasn't time for that because. Yeah, as I got closer to the individual, I could see in his face there was no anything there that resembled a friendly gesture. So I just drove by him. But it was funny because this is probably
bread invitation.
Yeah, no, nothing at all, you know. But
but
this is what God showed me though. See now again,
okay,
they think they think they're playing games with me. Well, let me tell you what they're really doing is one of the gentlemen who conspired to try to set me up and take me out of office. I guess the promise was made to him that you could replace him. Well, he didn't get to replace me. Not only didn't he get to replace me, somebody else is going to replace the individual that's replacing me. So I'm just going to sit back and watch that situation unfold. Because, you know, you did dirt to get a position. The dirt that you did was semi-successful, well, momentarily successful, because it was enough to get me out of my office. But you didn't get the spot that I'm sure you were promised. And now I'm going to see how that unfolds. And then maybe you'll understand that when you play fair, you get fair.
All things work together for the good.
Yeah.
And as I said to you before, my brother, the battle is not yours. Just as you were saying, as you was driving down and you wanted to do it, but whether you, these are the things that we have to be alert to. The Spirit of God did speak to you and said, now is not the time.
Right.
Now is not the time. And so this is what we have to be on the lookout for, because as I said to you, God is talking to us all the time. We just have to realize it and instead of taking it like it's something else or this or that, we have to understand exactly who it is that's talking to us. He is inside of us, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. And so he's there guiding you. And this is what we, as children of God, have to be alert to so that we can blow and glow in the goodness of God. It is just that simple. And just before I was going to say that to you, you told me God showed you. So it does my heart good, my spirit good, to know that you was obedient to the Spirit. Now, there are some people that might not have been obedient and wanted to prove a point. But being obedient to the Spirit is far better than us trying to go on our own wisdom.
Well, and you know what, too? Like I said, brother, I really believe if God had wanted me at this particular time to stop and say something to him, I think he would have gave me like the first signal, like with enough time for me to question it two or three times before I rolled up on the brother. When I say rolled up on the brother, I mean I'm driving to meet me.
Literally.
But you was contemplating it on the way down there already, so he was giving you some time. And he'll let you know. You know what I mean? God don't do things half. He don't do it halfway. He does it complete, and he does it in decency and in order. And this is what we have to become observant to so that we can glow, so that our light can shine. And the brother that thought that he was doing you harm, he doesn't realize it, but he might not even realize it, but as God turns this whole situation around, then all he's doing is putting somebody on your team, because that same person knows the crookedness and the evil that's going on, and now he's going to be a better supporter. God ways are not like our ways. We look at things and we look at it from our perspective and have to understand that God has no respected person. He can use whoever and whatever he wants whenever he wants, because all things are doing what? Working for the good. All things are working for the good. And when we start to look at things in that manner, that all things are working for the good, then we can begin to see it as it begins to manifest itself. It just as you were able to see the manifestation of him trying to do dirt on you and what they're doing to you, it's all part of God's plan. It's all manifesting itself. Because what a man soweth, so shall he reap. You can't get around that. I don't care who you are. Even Jesus, if Jesus sowed some bad stuff, he's going to reap some bad stuff. And that goes for each and every one of us. So it is imperative that we just continue to sow good seeds. And if you sow good seeds, the only thing that can come back to you is good. And this is what we have to begin to train ourselves to understand so that we can walk in that boldness. And not in a braggadocious way per se, but in a humble boldness, knowing who you are. Even if you never become president of the union again, trust me, you continue to follow God and you'll be in something much greater than that. You'll be
Amen.
In something much greater than that. And we have to walk in that knowing.
Yeah. That's what we have to do. Because that show has to go
and I know. I was going to say, I know it ain't easy sometimes. It's
no,
not
it
easy sometimes. Right.
Yeah.
But
you know what?
If we hold. Yeah.
Hold on. It'll work itself out.
That's right. If you hold true to the knowledge of who you are and knowing that your Father is in control, it got no other reach, no other way but to be all right. And we have to walk with that knowledge of knowing it. As the sister was talking about the brother that was diagnosed with illness and stuff, even that is not unto death. The word tells you all sickness is not unto death. When God created this temple to house himself in, he made it so that it has the capability to heal itself. And we have to walk knowing that, but we have to walk in the faith of knowing that I can be cured. Whatever it is that's ailing me, I can be cured. I mean, if we really think about it, there was a time that we thought that if you had AIDS, you were dead. Dead on arrival. Now, yes, there's been some, God has touched some certain people that they were able to create some different types of medicine and stuff to do it, but we've got to understand God at work. All sickness is not unto death, and just because you get it does not mean you're dead. Well, we're all going to die, but it doesn't mean that you're going to die in the next 24 hours. We can still lead productive lives, and productive lives is just really trying to do what we can to make ourselves and this world a better place. And the only way we do that is recognizing who we are. Make it a better place knowing that God is in control. And when you do that, you have nothing. You can only get one outcome, and that is success. You can only get that outcome. You can't get anything else. Anything else is just not what it is. It's because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And we've got to remember it's from the pureness of our hearts that we've got to walk in this faith. It's the pureness of the knowledge of knowing that it is God in me, that I do all that I do. We have to understand that and stop killing ourselves when we do something that other people label as bad, because that's just as detrimental to us as when we do what people think are good. We have to do what it is that God says for us to do, and if they can't see the God in it, then that's on them. But it's important that you know that you are doing the things that are pleasing God. And I say that to say dancing is pleasing to God. It's not a crime to dance. It's not a crime to go swimming. It's not a crime to do so many of the joyous things of this world. It's not something that's going to shackle you to hell. It's not. God created all of this, and he created it all for a reason. But we seem to think if you don't go to church on Sunday or whatever form of service you had, if you don't read the book and do exactly what the book says, not understanding that the book is stories. As the brother and the sister was stating earlier, it is stories of people's lives and what makes them any different than you. So those same stories, technically, if we really wanted to, we can write another Bible per se.
Right.
Because you can't tell me that God isn't inspiring us. God inspired Brother Hodge to come up with this podcast so that we can be able to send the word out, send a message out. That's inspiration from God. That's no more inspiration than Moses in his quote-unquote Ten Commandments. A lot of things Moses did was from the inspiration of God, but there was a lot of things that Moses did just for him, or for not only just for him, but a necessity to try to lead the people.
Because his faith wasn't real then.
It's not so much that it wasn't. It wavers just like the average person's does. And a lot of things that we do, well, the problem is a lot of things that we do, we say God did it, but not understanding that we did it. When God do something, you know God did it. Like, I'll give you a good example. This stuff that is going on at your job and stuff like that. A lot of this stuff, some of the stuff that has happened is because we stepped on the outside of the direction that God has given us, and we've done some little things here and there that he didn't direct our path in per se. And so what happens is because, once again, as I said, the seeds that we sow. So these things come around, and because your heart was in the right place, you're still in tune with God. And because you're still in tune with God, he's going to work it out. Bless you. And this is what we have to understand. All things, and I can't say it enough. I don't know how many times a day I say this, but we have to understand that all things, and when I say all, I say it with capital letters, A-L-L, all things work together. And if we begin to look at things like that, even something that we might consider bad, if we look at it as working for the good, then we'll be able to accept and live a more happy, productive life. But we spend a lot of time in the gloom. I'm preaching to myself right now, y'all, so don't mind me, all right? We spend a lot of time because we're not doing this and we're not doing that. We don't have this and we don't have that. Instead of stop and, as they would say, smelling the roses. I don't have this, but look what I do have. I'm not able to go here, but look what I have right here. So get our minds off of the stuff that we don't have. And admire some of the stuff that we do have. And as we're admiring the stuff that we do have, concentrate, focus, visualize, speak it into existence, the things that we do want. And you stay strong and believe in your heart and doubt not, and it has no other choice but to be yours. And this is what we have to understand. This is the faith that we have to live on, not the faith of the 66 books or the Quran or the Torah or any of those. No, we have to go on that faith knowing that without a shadow of a doubt that God that lives inside of us will take care of us. Even when we're at our worst moment, God is taking care of us.
Amen.
The homeless people that you see out in the street, how many years have you seen them out in the street homeless? Have you ever seen any of them out in the street so homeless that in the middle of the winter they're walking around with nothing on at all?
No.
Have you ever seen them in the middle of the summer where they were so skinny they looked like they never had a bite to eat? And we know they're homeless, we know they're jobless, but they're still here. Now, you might say that, well, that's not the type of life that I want to live. And I can understand that, but we can't, just because it's not the type of life that we want to live, it could be the type of life that they just, that's the path that they choose. And when that path is no longer acceptable to them, then they will do whatever they have to do to change that path. And this is where we have to come to understand when we're dealing and talking about God and his grace and mercy and kindness. And stop thinking about God and all of this hellfire and all of this, because it's just not part of God's plan. What parent would give birth to a child and give them a choice, have the best things in life or the worst things in life? So if we as human beings think of ourselves to be so good, why do we put God on such a low pedestal? God said, all this is mine, and because it's all mine, guess what? You can have it.
It's all yours. Yeah.
And as long as you have it, don't worry about it running out. Why? Because there is no running out. There is plenty of everything for everybody. And that goes for food. That goes for money. There is more than enough money for everybody. There's more than enough food for everybody. It's just that we've got to get other folks to understand this and start living that way instead of trying to hog everything up for themselves. And they hog it up for themselves because when they see me, they don't see themselves. But people have to understand, but by the grace of God, there goes I. And when you start to understand that, you won't look at other people in what we would consider less significant situations than we're in. We won't look at them in that state anymore. We won't look at them just because they're on drugs and what we call wasting their life and we don't want to have anything to do with them. What we'll do is we'll start to see ourselves in them, and it's nothing but give them a kind word. It doesn't always have to be about the money. Give them a kind word. Give them a hamburger. Give them a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so much that we can do instead of frowning our noses up and looking down on everybody. We don't like it when the people that have more than us do that to us. So if we don't like it when they do it to us, who are we to do it to somebody else?
That's a great point.
And this is the mindset that we've got to come into, and we've got to start. The word tells us, be in the world, but not of the world. And that means you can do the things of the world, but you don't have to do them the same way that the people do them. Just because they're doing, just because they say when you drive, you got to put your left hand on the steering wheel, you can still drive that car without using your left hand. You can use your right hand.
Is that is that what you interpret being in the world but not of the world as?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Because you're in the world, it's just that you're not thinking the same way the world thinks. And you're not thinking the same way the world thinks because of who you are. And even though I'm here as a spiritual being, and I know better. And because I know better, I'm going to do better. And I have to clarify it again. Doing better does not necessarily mean you just got the big house on the hill. That's just not all there is to being better. What good is the big house on the hill if you got the big house on the hill with 50 rooms and you got 30 people down at the bottom of the hill with nowhere to lay their heads? What good is that? Is that really being better?
Morally
better. Love thy neighbor as thyself. These are simple simple processes and procedures that has been placed and given to us in all different type of ways, and we still can't seem to manifest and understand this, but we can understand and manifest everything else. But the simplest thing, love God with all your heart and soul, because if you love God with all your heart and soul, then you've got nothing but love in you. Love thy neighbor as yourself. That's all about love. It's simple. It really is simple, but because of our conditioning, because of our upbringing, and because of the way society acts, we form to what they want instead of what it is that God would have for us. God is love, and if God is love, you are love. It is natural for you to love people. It is unnatural when you look down on people. It is unnatural when you despise people. You hate people. That's unnatural. You know, it takes more muscles to create a frown than it does a smile.
Well, that, you know what? If that's unnatural, we have become so accustomed to the unnatural that the unnatural feels
that's
more
correct.
Natural than the natural.
That's correct. That is correct. But, okay, and I'll give you a test so that you can see. But what you said is 100% correct. Do something good and do something bad and tell me just exactly how do you feel. If the things that you do that the world say is okay and you do it, you and your soul and your body should have no condemnation at all. But you do it and watch what happens. And something as simple as if you see somebody hungry and you walk past them eating, it's something inside of you that just gives you that feeling that I should have done something. I should have shared my sandwich. Now, we may not listen to it, but it's something inside of us that tells us that. We just won't do it. Because all we can think about is ourselves. And we're looking down on somebody else. But just think about the joy that you get within yourself when you help anybody. When you help somebody and you're not helping them expecting something in return. Because when you're expecting something in return, then you're doing it with motive.
Is motive always wrong?
Motive isn't wrong. It's only wrong when you're doing it, honestly, recognition isn't bad. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, it's not a bad thing to go out and feed 50 people and then somebody recognizes you for that, But if you're feeding the people for the pureness of your heart because you know they're hungry and you want to give them something, that recognition will come to you automatically without you doing something. You know what I mean? If you're going out to feed somebody just so that you can get the recognition, then you're not doing it with a pure heart.
But then I have to ask you, even now, again, even though I'm not doing it with a pure heart, it is still a good deed. There's the fact that I want to be recognized. In other words, let's just say I put together food, I rent a truck, and I'm just going to travel around feeding people because I want everybody to know that Hodge to Hodge came through and fed them. Now, again, maybe our intent wasn't the best, but the end result or the deed was good. So does that make the whole concept of what just happened not good? For lack of a better
What is my favorite saying?
It all works for the good.
All things work for the good. So no, there was no way that that's not good because you were able to help somebody. But what I'm saying is that recognition that you desire is still not the same. Isn't it better when you do something from the pureness of your heart, not expecting anything in return, and then you walk into work the next day and they got you a big cake and everything just out of appreciation because they know you was doing it from the pureness of your heart? Isn't that much better than doing everything? Now, somebody better get me a cake.
Yes, it's much better. Don't get me wrong, but if I have no spiritual enlightenment that I can recognizably discern. So even though, because if you think about it, even though I am doing it for recognition, God had to put it on my heart to do. I believe that. Now, again, as with everything else, God put it on your heart to do, but sometimes we figure, well, let me help you out, God, because you're not really understanding the true situation. So you put it on my heart to do, but I'm going to do some other things here because it's something I need to get out of it. But my point is, if it's a good deed, it's a good deed.
That's correct. That is correct, yes. That is correct. And one of the things you got to understand, too, is that thing that you said God put in your heart, you got to understand that's not God putting it in your heart. That's who you are. That's the natural part of it. So it wasn't like he just put that in your heart. It's just naturally right for us to do good. It's naturally right for us to give. That's just our nature. It's our human nature that has changed things around and have us in conflict. But our spiritual nature, for who we really are, it's natural for us to do these things. And using the Bible, there's a story in the Bible about a woman, a family or something like that, that sold their house, and because they had these restrictions and stuff on them, they were supposed to give X amount of money and all that stuff, and they didn't give what they were supposed to give, and supposedly they were cursed, and then a lady came up with a penny, per se, and she gave that, and she was truly blessed. I don't know if you guys remember that story. I can't remember the names of the people and stuff of that nature, but that story, it's a story, but once again, it has significant meaning, letting us know the nature of God. And it's not what you give, it's how you give. And all things work together for the good. So if you give me a dollar or you give me $1.50, how you feel about it, that is a blessing to me, but then you miss your true blessing because of the way you give instead of being natural. The nature of God, because that's who we are. He created us in his image and his likeness because we are part of him. So So we have his characteristics, and this is what we have to understand, but it's hard for us to accept that philosophy because of what's been drilled into us. And I just, as I learn more and hear the word more, I just don't understand how we were allowed, we allow people to just totally turn us in a different path from the true nature of God. We've allowed such a love, kind, giving, caring, forgiveness person to be so mean and evil. Because if you really look at it, at times, the things that they tell you about God, wouldn't God be the devil?
Such as what times would you refer to?
When he decided to throw you into the bottomless pit and spend all eternity. That story. Isn't that the devil? That's something that the devil would do, because the devil said he was going to take everybody from God. So if he was going to take all of them from God, he only got one place to put them, quote unquote, in hell, where God created for him, but he'd never be.
Yeah, we have to, you know, again, as humans, we just have to accept and believe that God is love, man. God is love, and again, love don't love. You can get hurt by love, but love don't hurt.
No, love don't hurt. Love hides a multitude of faults. And that's the love that we've got. You know, we call, instead of us accepting that as real love, we accept that as lustful love. But we've got to get to that lustful love that we have. We have to have that type of love every day for everybody. Because when you're truly in love with that special person, no matter what they do, they might make you mad, but you'll find a way, the way they smile or something, that make you forget all about that wrong that they just did. That's real agape love. We just named it something else. But that's agape love. Anytime somebody can walk up to you and slap you and you find a way to forgive them, that's agape love. And ain't that what we do when we first meet that person and we strung out over them? Isn't that what we do? We find excuses for them. Yeah, he took my car and been gone for 3 days, but he just put it in the shop. We'll find excuses, and this is what we have to understand. We've got so many things twisted up and backwards, and we're not using the sense in which God gave us to truly see things as they really are and not as what has been told to us. And I say this, if you want to get a better understanding, you got to pay attention to it, but watch The Matrix. The Matrix is such a deep movie that I think people don't really understand the true meaning behind The Matrix.
Yeah, you always comment on how you like The Matrix. But go ahead and tell us why, brother.
Because of the fact that we're plugged in to believe certain things that just isn't so. That's what we're plugged in to do. We've been trained from our birth to believe certain things, and they just not so. And we also have such amazing power, but because we can't believe it, we can't do it. But we have amazing power, even though we have performed these feats throughout our lives. And sometimes we perform and we're doing it unconsciously, and so we're not even alert to what it is that we've done. A good example, my brother, is you. You're always saying to me, "No, you're the electronic master. give you a couple of days over there. Now you ready? You ready to give Jimmy Jam a run?
Well, I said, all I can say is, yeah, we can hang out a little bit.
Okay. And I'll give you another example. There's been many times when at the church that I was at, I was there and I was kind of, because it was a small church, and I was kind of like the maintenance guy there because we had no other people and we didn't have the money to hire people and stuff. Now, some of the things that I've done there, and knowing for a fact that I couldn't do it. And it amazed me sometimes the things that I would go over there and get done all by myself, just me and God. I can do all things through God that is within me. They say through Christ that strengthens me, and that's fine. It's the same thing, but that is a true fact that you can. All you have to do is put your mind to it, trust in God, lean not to your own understandings, and He will direct your path. It is, and I say it, and it really is just that simple, but we refuse to believe it, even though each and every day we're doing it. And we've got to stop being doubters and start knowing some stuff. We've got to know it. And the only way we can know it is we've got to go into communion with God. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Try going in communion with God and see if by the next day, the stuff that you've talked to God about, see if He doesn't reply to you. But you have to be alert so that you can hear what it is that He's saying. A lot of times I went to God, and as I'm driving down the road, all I see is billboard signs, and I don't know where they came from or why I went down that road. It'll say something like patience. Now, most people might just see that as a sign saying patience, but it's God speaking to me because He can use a billboard sign. He could use the TV. He can use each and every one of you on here. On this call tonight to confirm or to answer something, and when you can tell the Spirit by the Spirit, because there's something inside of you that it seems like a connection. And if you're paying attention, you will say, oh, there you go. That's it. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. But because we've been conditioned to believe certain things, for instance, we believe that God is a man. So if a woman comes and says something to us that's profound from God, we don't receive it. Why? Because God is a man. And that was a woman that said it to me. So we just missed it. The Bible says you have to watch as well as pray. You have to watch. Why? Because He can come at you in any way. God just can't keep opening up the skies for you on everything. Oh, ye of little faith. He can't keep opening up the sky. After a while, just think, if He had to open up the sky to deliver a message to us, the sky would never close. We wouldn't have an atmosphere. We wouldn't have anything because He's always opening it up because everybody asking Him. And because everybody asks Him, do you really think that the only way He can deliver a word to you is through thunder and lightning and all of these other different things? Not that He can't use these things, but do you think that's the only way of communication that God has? We just have to condition ourselves to be alert to God at work. Because He's at work, He's always, always. And on that seventh day, He rests. No, God doesn't need rest. So he's always working 24/7. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if he's going to sleep, that means he left you because he ain't with you right now because he's asleep. But we think he's asleep because we still have that image of God being a man. God is spirit, energy, and that does not stop.
Amen. So we
That's the part. That's just what it is. And once again, if you think about the Matrix, that was one of the things that Neo had to do. He had to get to the source, to the main power plant, per se. He was the one, once again, just as Jesus was, because he believed. They told him, you're the one. You can do all of this. And the reason they couldn't do it is because they was, once again, looking for the one. And because they was looking for the one, they automatically tuned out the fact that they were the one. They could do some things, but they couldn't do the stuff that the one could do. Because there's always one that's going to have a little bit more faith.
You said a little more faith?
A little bit more faith, a little bit more belief, and a little bit more knowing. And the more tuned in you are to the knowing, the more that you can do. The more you know who you are, the more you'll be able to do the things that other people seem as it's impossible to do. But not until you truly know who you are.
And so should I take the red pill or the blue pill?
See, there you go. That's right. But that is correct. And what if you took one of the pills, you were subject to believe that every 66 Bibles, every 66 books in the Bible was true. But if you took the other pill, then you were able to allow your mind to expand to the fact that all things are possible, not just that book.
All right.
And that's what's important for us, and that's where we need to get to that knowing. And when you know that you know, when you know that you know that you know that you know, there is nothing that you can't do. And just think about that in your daily lives. Think about that in your daily lives. When you know that you know that downstairs you got some eggs and bacon and pancakes, I'll say. When you know that you know that, yes, you feel you, there is nothing nobody can't tell you when it comes time for breakfast. When you know that. But when you ain't sure, you're a little leery about breakfast the next morning. But when you know that you know, you wake up in that boldness knowing I'm going downstairs to make my breakfast. You don't stop and think about nothing. Why? Because you know. But when you don't know, then it's like, yeah, maybe I might not have bacon. Maybe I'll just have pancakes and eggs. Because you're not sure. And so because of that, you don't walk with the assurance that you're going downstairs to have bacon. Because you don't know. That's why it's important that we know. And if you try God, if you try God and he's able to do what it is that you ask him to do, then don't you know that if he did that, he'll do whatever else it is? Whatever else it is. And that's even as far as asking him for $1 million. That's not too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. And that $1 million, you might be walking down the street and something tell you, you know what? Let me get a scratch off. Let me just give me a ticket. Or somebody might just walk up to you and see favor and bless you with it. There is nothing too hard for God. God works in all kinds of ways. But we've got to also have this theory that God wants us to be poor. But that's
well,
not
again,
true.
Well, because in many, many pericopes in the Bible, you find words like servants. Be, you know, faithful to your service. In Philippians, we find do all things without complaining. There's enough verses in the Bible that makes you think that, yeah, it's okay to be poor. God knew you were going to be poor. God spoke about servants, male servants. You know, so when you read that in the Bible and then you're confronted with being poor, some kind of way we twist that up to, well,
that's
not
right.
Some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
The writers have written it so that I keep making and I keep glorifying the servant, the poor people, because when I use this as a control mechanism, I want the people to understand fully. This is not me doing this. I didn't write this book. This was passed down from the heavens. So, you know, get back to your indentured servitude. Get back to being a slave, and you take it up with God when you get to heaven.
All right, check this out. What is a saying that they love to say, and they believe it, and it's not true? Money doesn't grow on trees. Can you make a dollar bill without a tree?
Not at all. But it didn't grow. What's it? It didn't grow on the tree. It came from the tree.
So the tree had to grow for you to be able to use its parts to make the money. Without that tree, there is no money. No dollar bill.
That's for sure.
But we'll say that acting as if we truly know and believe that money doesn't grow on trees. And you've got to be at the simplest form to think that there's a tree with dollar bills hanging off of it. But the tree is what makes money.
Okay.
It's once again how we begin to look at things all the time. We look at things from what other people have told us, and we don't even use our own sense and knowledge and wisdom that God has given us all. Because somebody else has told us something different. And because it's been passed down through the years, we just accept it as it is. Even though your own intellect is telling you it's something different.
Hey, listen, my brother, I was getting caught up in the podcast and then realized we've got about 90 seconds left. So we're going to get ready to do our sign-offs. So, Sister Purr, you want to say goodnight?
I would love to. God bless the speaker, the hearer, and the doer of his work. Have a blessed day.
Okay.
My sister, I have the same sentiments. God bless and continue to strengthen the speaker, the doer, the hearer of what it is that he is saying to each and every one of us.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, we always end in the podcast. We open or end with my mom singing. So in the background, as you hear my mother giving her praise, I want to say I appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. And again, I can tell by the stats that even though we're not calling in, we are being a podcast to be dealt with. And our Messenger podcast is one of a better life. So please join in, tell a friend about a friend. And we've got a very interesting ministry going on, where it's about you learning who you are and being a better you. And if you can do that, then everything will fall into place. The universes will align, and we can all enjoy